In the vein of that which we have been conveying to you now some, at least several months, and as I continually work on this, that is the spirit of truth, it just continues to expand.
Yeah, right.
Amen. So I don't know when we'll get off it now, because there is just so much that the Spirit of God is bringing to light at the end of this series, maybe even before the end, shortly before the end. We shall convey to you in writing again the Spirit of truth. The Spirit is the essence of truth. Speaking about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Deacon Gavin shall be our designated reader this morning. I want you to turn with me. Basically what we shall look at is the 8th chapter of Romans, verses 16, 17, and 18, and in conjunction with that, we had moved 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I think it was verse 11 and 12 and 13. As we continue to convey the message of the Spirit that belongs to truth, or the Spirit that is owned by truth. Amen. He, that is the Spirit. Anytime you say He, we are referencing the Godhead. Don't ever split up the Godhead. You know, there are many who view God in the threefoldness, which is okay, of His essence, which is body, soul, and spirit. Now let me say it the correct way. Spirit,
amen.
Soul, and body. The Spirit is, should be, that is, if you're the child of God, the Spirit should be focused and elevated above the other aspects of our tricotomous makeup.
Amen.
In other words, the Spirit should get first billing.
Right.
Amen. And of course, the soul is the effectuated part of us. And then the body gives us earth conscious, and we're able to feel and touch and taste. And of course, immediately this is where most of us go to. We go to that last aspect of our makeup, and that is the body. Everything is about fulfilling the desires and wishes and wants of the body, of the flesh. And of course, the Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, through the Word of God, is telling us you're going at it the opposite way of what God would have. Amen. We should feed the Spirit first and the flesh lags. We're just the opposite. Amen. We said let's take care of Esau first. Amen. Of course, that's in all of us. But the Word of God is true, even if it basically speaks against the things that we do and we feel and we think. Amen. We are not to follow after our own intellect. Amen. But as children of God, we are to look to Him to guide us and to lead us and to give us directions and directives as to what we what you do. Now again, the Word of God is addressed to those who are saved. And I have a hard time sometimes because there is the appeal of ministry now to try to reach out and touch everybody. Amen. This word can only touch those, amen, who are either already the children of God or those whom he has designated to become children of God.
Yes.
Amen. I can't minister to all of mankind, because to minister to all of mankind is to minister to the flesh. And to minister to the flesh is not to minister the word of God. What we dealt with last week was that the spirit of truth, which is the triune essence of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, who is commissioned to convey or to communicate with the spirit of saved men, of the spirit of those of whom God has quickened. And so it is only the alive spirits of those who God has given his spirit that can receive this word. We went into one passage, and we won't touch on it this morning for the sake of time, that no man knows the thoughts or the inner thinkings of another man except the spirit of that particular man. In other words, I know what I'm thinking because of my spirit. So my spirit knows what I'm thinking, but my spirit doesn't know what you're thinking. And your spirit knows what you're thinking, but your spirit doesn't know what I'm thinking. And sometimes we think we know what each other are thinking. Sometimes a person walks in and he's just maybe having a bad day. And I'm not trying to make no excuse, and he failed to speak. And so the first thing that we think is they got something against us. There's some motive. And I don't know why we try to specialize in mind reading. You don't know what that person is. You know. So we got to realize that we have no way of knowing what each other is thinking. Now, Paul uses this only in the sense of saying that only the Spirit of God knows what the thoughts of God are.
That's right.
You see, your spirit knows what you're thinking. My spirit knows what I'm thinking. And only the Spirit of God knows what he's thinking. Huh? And so the way that God has arranged it is that he gives us the Holy Spirit. He imparts or implants into us his spirit, and it is his spirit, amen, that conveys to our spirit what he is thinking. Oh my God. And without the Holy Spirit, amen, you won't know the things of God. This is why in this same passage, as we shall bring out, no man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God. And thus we will not know those things of God except as he has chosen to reveal them unto us. And so when you know the things of God, you must give full credit to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Not the minister. We have to be careful sometimes as ministers. We think that it's how well we speak, how eloquent we bring it out, that we have convinced someone, and there's a lot of thinking along that line. Amen. But if you see the light and if you understand it, it is because the Holy Spirit has revealed it. I may be a vessel, but I can preach all day long and all night long. If the Holy Spirit does not reveal it to you, it will be like a water off a dust bag. You won't know what I'm talking about. And then sometimes, I guess some of you do say, you don't know what I'm talking about.
Amen. Amen.
But hang in there. Hang in there. Now, Brother Deacon, I want you to, as we look at the 8th chapter of Romans, those 3 verses again, and I guess throughout this discourse, we shall each Sunday read from this. Now, you can take notes if you want to, or buy the tape, but again, we are You will see that everyone get a copy of this document when you get through. It's called The Spirit of Truth, and I'm passing it out now because I'm still writing. Amen. Okay. Everybody got to say amen. All right, beginning with verse 16, read.
Romans chapter 8, verse 16.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together.
Mm-hmm.
For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, what we are attempting to do is to bring to light and true understanding what the proper exegesis of this thought passages. Exegesis is not a big word. What the proper biblical interpretation is. Amen. Because they're all over the place as to what the apostle is saying. First of all, I'm going to go to the Greek text in the 16th verse and clear up a couple of things. That is, it should read the Spirit himself. Spirit is not it. Even though it carries the neuter there. The neuter gender cannot be carried over into the English. It must be carried over into the English in the masculine gender, which means it is the Holy Spirit, he. Someone said, well, you're breaking the laws of grammar. All right, then, when you look at the Greek word technon, meaning child or children, it's in the neuter. You want to get in trouble, you walk up and call somebody child of it. In the English, it has to be carried over in the masculine or the feminine gender if you are speaking of the child as a female or the children. Amen. So it is he. The Holy Spirit is not some inanimate object. Holy Spirit is he. And I know the same songs that drive me crazy talking about I got it, I got the Holy Ghost. Calling the Holy Spirit here. How would you like if someone called you here?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. It is the Holy Spirit, he.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. As we said, we note the threefold make up of mankind, and that the Spirit is the part of God, the Holy Spirit, that is commissioned to convey communications. It is through the Holy Spirit that you know who Jesus is. Everybody don't know who Jesus is. In fact, I saw something. I was on the internet yesterday going through some articles and things, and then my people, I don't know, there's all kind of demonic minds out there, but somebody inserted something and it jumped up on the screen, Jesus stinks. See? Of course, I'm not Paul. Amen. To some people, he's as much as you love him, some people have no use for him. As much as you adore him, there are others that think that he's a joke. But the only difference is the Holy Spirit. Who told you who Jesus is? The Holy Spirit. Huh? Who has conveyed to you the words of God to the end that you love Jesus? The Holy Spirit. He did. That's the only difference between you and the person that doesn't know him. It's the Holy Spirit,
amen,
has conveyed it and communicated it to you. And guess what? He doesn't communicate with the minds of all men. And if he had not communicated with your spirit, you wouldn't know him either.
That's right.
Oh, we're so blessed this morning. I don't care what you're going through. What problems and trials. You are, don't you know you're... Give the Lord a hand, praise. Don't you know you're blessed? Don't you know you're blessed? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My Lord, privileged ones that God has selected and picked out. Amen. He loves you. Just let me say this. No matter what you're going through in life, know that God loves you. No, what trial, what problem, whatever is going down, don't you ever let the devil isolate you somewhere and get you to thinking that God doesn't love you. He loves you. Amen. The very fact that the Holy Spirit abides within you testifies that He indeed loves you. So the Holy Spirit is the medium which conveys knowledge in the spiritual sphere, which is the essence of truth. Amen. And God can only fellowship with us as He spiritually communicates to our hearts. Amen. And so, I want you to, basically, we'll go back right quick and touch on this anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Here, we go through this once again, and the Spirit of God, amen, is the one who has enlightened us. He is the one who illuminates. He is the one who elucidates. All right? Everybody got it? Say amen. All right, read and read.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God.
Okay, now, from the Greek text it reads, for who a man knows the things of the man except the spirit of the man in him? Likewise, also the things of God no one has known except the spirit of God. Now, again, going to a little grammar, this verse opens with what we call a coordinating conjunction, which basically, in English, and I know, hey, I got to do it this way. In English, it is improper to start a sentence with a conjunction. Go back to your English class, even though we do it all the time. You shouldn't start a sentence with but, and, for. You know why? Because that means you're starting in the middle of something. A coordinating or a juncture says that there is a division there, and a conjunction brings it together, which means when you start at that point, you're starting in the middle of something, and right away, if you read a verse of scripture and it begins with a conjunction, you know to go up a few verses because you've started in the middle of something. Now, this is just a tip in Bible reading, because a lot of people have jumped and they grabbed one verse and they went 15 miles down the road with it, and it did not come close. Not was just off a little bit, but as they said the song, they missed it by a country mile.
Yeah.
So here the coordinating conjunction, as it is related here, we have the Greek word God, and also it begins here, this verse, with what we call an interrogative pronoun. A pronoun modifies a noun. Now, I can say George, John, David, or I can come back and say he, which cover either George, John, David, he. But this pronoun is basically what we call an interrogative pronoun. So whether you know, you don't know whether it's Joash, John, or David. So here we have a Greek interrogative pronoun. Here is tis. In the Greek, it's translated who? Who? So it starts out reading for who? It raises a question. So here Paul raises the question, for who a man knows the thoughts of a man? And here Paul uses the relationship between a man's spirit and mind, as we said, to illustrate the relationship between the spirit of God and the mind of God. So the phrase is simply making a statement in form of a question. Who knows the things of God? The answer is none of us. We must be taught it.
Amen.
Who is the teacher? The Holy Spirit. You see? So this is what is conveying, because he says some other things in the verses before we won't get into this morning. So this is how it is arranged. So no one knows except the Holy Spirit. So it is by God's design that we have the link of mind and spirit, which forms the capacity to communicate into thoughts. And so it should just follow that. Don't you ever try to go into here and figure out something. What do? You pray. Say, Lord, show me.
Yes. Every time.
No, I don't care if you're Einstein. I don't care who you are. You can't go in here and get this.
Yes.
God must reveal it to you.
Yes.
How can our little peanut minds, amen, of themselves be able to fathom the thinking and workings of God? This is why one of the things Paul said above is that natural man don't know this. Can't receive it. What did Paul say on one occasion? He said, to the Greeks, to the Jews, it's a stumbling block. Except, but to the Greeks, it's foolishness. But to us, everybody say us. It is the power. Can you say power? Can you say power? It is the power of God unto salvation. This is dynamic. This is dynamic. So he reads, as it reads here, but basically he's saying, likewise, in the same manner, only the Spirit of God has known and continues to know. Here we have the perfect tense, which speaks of that which is known in the past and continues to know the thoughts of God. There are no secrets that are hidden from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thus, the only way for man to receive communication from God is there must be an interconnecting link of the Spirit of God with the spirit of certain men. With the spirit of certain men. What certain men? Those that God has chosen and elected and called into salvation. Now, this is tersely stated as we look at the 12th verse. But you can read that. Are you with me?
First Corinthians.
I'm not all over the place, and
right.
Amen. This is not an entertainment center.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. We're here to give enlightenment and information. This is not about entertainment. This is about information. All right. Read.
First Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Now, let's look, listen as I read from the Greek text. That is the translation. We have not received the Spirit of the world, But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Notice, from God, by God. In this verse, and I'm going to get into a little bit of Greek here. We have the Greek phrase rendered, and we have not received the Spirit of the world. Here, the Spirit of the world refers to the mindset of depraved humanity. It is heavily influenced and controlled by Satan, who is the ruler and authority of the air, the spirit that's now working or energizing in the sons of disobedience, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2.
Yes.
And all who associate with this spirit, the likes of unclean demons, as Luke 4:33 speaks, and evil spirits, as we look at Acts 19 and 12. And of course, as we look at our gospel, what we focus on here and what 1 Timothy 4 and 1 speaks about, erring spirits, lying spirits. Amen. You're getting information that you think is true and is not. Amen. You're getting information that you think is reality and is not. Amen. But it is impossible, and I touched on this a little bit last week, for the spirit of Satan to coexist with the spirit of God, that is, in a believer. Amen. This is why Paul used the strong adversative conjunction that Allah rendered but. He says but. Amen. As Paul expresses the fact that we have received the spirit of truth, that is from God.
Yes.
Amen. That is our only source of truth. Amen. And so we have the Greek phrase ektoupheo, which is translated out of God. So truth comes out of God. And if it doesn't come out of God, it's not truth. Oh my God.
Amen.
Isn't this deep?
Glory.
So truth is out of God, from God, denoting that God is the source. Amen. And this is the essence of why we rely upon God. We come to Him as we know nothing, because we don't. And we look to Him to feed us. And it would be good if we can come to Him with the attitude that we know nothing. And that, Lord, You lead me.
Glory.
And You guide me. Yeah, we sing songs that be a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. Amen. And sometimes God is speaking to us, telling us one thing, and we aren't listening.
Yes.
Some of us sometimes act like God doesn't know what He's doing. Said the Lord said, go this way, and the Spirit is leading us, and He said, oh, no. Lord, are You sure? Amen. But the Spirit conveys the truth. And so we, as the elect of God, are separated because we have received this Spirit that comes out of God. And the latter portion of that 12th verse, it sets forth the reason for which we have received the Spirit who is from God, as it is rendered. And see, I'm skipping some degree. It's rendered that, in all of that, we might know the things freely granted unto us by God.
Yes.
He has separated us so that He can speak to us, because He's not speaking to everyone.
Come on,
amen. Amen. Now, this grammatical construction here infers the enlightenment of truth, which is given to all believers.
Glory.
And the emphasis of this phrase confirms the fact that all believers have received the Spirit of God in order that they might know, and that's why you've got the Spirit here, the Greek expression Enon Ekumen, that we might know, amen, you have the Spirit of God in order for you to know. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. He didn't give you the Holy Spirit, amen, so that you can shout.
Raise
yes. They dance and shout in the bars and on the ballroom floor. Y'all don't hear me. He said, well, the spirit is high. No. Amen. The devil is laughing. This place is up in flames and 15 people running down the aisle and somebody was arguing, boom, boom, boom. He's rocking the place there. And you know what? Yeah, the preacher's hollering. You don't know what he's saying. And whether he's telling the truth or not, you don't hear him. Amen. The devil's happy about that. But when the Spirit is alive and working, the Word of God, the truth, amen, is being conveyed, is being given, amen. Someone is coming into the light and the knowledge of understanding the God of their salvation.
Yes. Glory to God. Amen.
By the way, please don't break up the benches in here. I'm not against shouting. That's not what we're saying. Amen. But it's time out for physical exercise being the dominance of our worship and services. Amen. So that you don't come in dumb and go out dumb. Because guess what? The devil is waiting for you. You know what? And he loves ignorant saints. Oh, he loves. So I use that word. Again, the etymology of that word, ignorant, simply means what?
No.
Lack of knowledge. Now, don't go out there and call anybody ignorant. I'd get punched in that mouth. But the workings of the Spirit are the teachings of an enablement to know the truth that Jesus has revealed. And here we draw a line in this ministry. This is why we are, and I know we're going up against the grain. In this dispensation, in this age, the gospel is that message that God has given to Paul. Now, I'm not saying that all the Bible is not gospel, but the Bible must be divided into dispensations and covenants. Because you have so many messages, if you do not arrange them, some of them bump heads. But the Holy Spirit has conveyed to us that those of us who are members of the body of Christ, our gospel are those directives that are in those epistles that Paul wrote to the church. That is for this dispensation. If you are a child of God in the dispensation of grace, that is your gospel. So it is the revelation of the mystery. Now this is tersely illustrated in verse 13. Brother Deacon, read. I hope no one has closed your Bible. This is not a church you come to and the preacher's going to read something. He's going to call out some fancy message. Everybody's going to give each other high fives. And you might as well close your Bible because he's closed his. Because he's philosophizing from that point on. No. We start in the Bible. We stay in the Bible. We end in the Bible. Amen. So you must keep your Bibles open. All right. Everybody got verse 13? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Read.
1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Amen. I think this is where we basically ended last week, and of course I guess I'm going to always have to do some overlapping. Amen. The essence of what he read, let us focus on the reading that is the translation from the Greek text. He reads, which things we also speak, not in taught words of human wisdom, but in teachings of the Spirit. Get this now, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Or, for context sake, you can invoke the word things, but comparison spiritual things with spiritual. Now follow me now. The pastor, a minister of God who desires to be in alignment with the Holy Spirit, I know I'm going over a couple of things here. In preaching and teaching the truth, you must come to understand the difference between the physical and the natural sphere of things that are communicated by human wisdom, and that which is spiritually unseen and designed only by or through the Spirit of truth. Like I said that again. To be in the essence of preaching truth, I put it another way. You must understand the difference between natural and physical things, which is not the message of the mystery, and spiritual things, which does define what the mystery is, and these things are only understood through the Spirit. Now in this verse 13, Paul speaks to the heart of the issue and identifying, follow me now, both the mode and the method of communicating spiritual things. And I'm going to say some things, amen, and I don't want anybody to take them the wrong way, because then, amen, as I'm preaching, I'm just going to preach. I'm not going to sit up here and worry about who I'm offending someone and so forth and so on. Amen. You pray, I stay the Holy Spirit. That's all.
Amen.
All right. First, Paul states what it is not. It is not in the sphere of taught words of human wisdom. In other words, the truth or message of truth is not derived from human wisdom, as we reference Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Thus, the word of truth is not in words which man wisdom teaches, such as whom human philosophy dictates of eloquency. And of course, if the rascal gets up, amen, he might not know beans about the word of God. If he's a great orator, everybody's going to say, oh, he's heavy. And he's up here using big words. He's rhyming. He's throwing in a few jokes and making you laugh. And then by nature, human nature, we love to be entertained. But is he conveying this message? Is the word of God, is that being transmitted to your spirit? I watch them as they come on the television, and they know how to get you. This week, my brother and I, Wallace, before he left, we were listening to, I'm going to call her name, Creflo Dollar. And he's sitting them through about a 16-minute, in fact, I recorded it. It's on my computer. For those that want to hear it, I'll download it and give it to you. Amen. But he went through a 16-minute of chanting and telling those people all the great things that God has promised them. And 75% of it was false. I'm giving the doubt, credit of the doubt, I mean the benefit of the doubt. Basically, saying that God has promised you wealth. Because he said to the children of Israel, I am the what? I am the God that giveth you wealth. This is why you got to stay in your dispensation. Now the Spirit of God is not going to convey that to you as the directive for you as a member of the body of Christ. Adam said that no disease can penetrate my body. In other words, I'm invincible. There's nothing out there that can make me sick. You know what he did? He went over into one of the prophecies and quoted
in hell when there will be no sickness on the earth. Amen. But read it. That is in the future, through a future dispensation that's not talking to you. You can take anything out of it.
Amen.
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 Amen. 3,000 people. So, all those people, it must. If you got so much truth, why isn't your church packed to the wall? That's because we got so much truth.
Amen. Amen.
And the masses don't want to hear truth. They want to dwell in fairly. Then he said, money coming. He said, money coming. Money coming to me. Money coming to me. I declare this day, I'll never be broke another day in my life. You sitting up there hollering that out. And then you're going to be disappointed with God. But God never told you that. God never told you that.
Amen.
God has different plans.
Yes.
For different of his elect.
Yes. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Bring it out, Pastor. Bring it out.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? This is why we should sit around envying one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Peter did John. He said, the Lord said, Peter, you know, you're going to have to go through all of these things and you get old, somebody to lead you around. It's going to be tough. You're going to have a tough life, Peter. But Peter said, okay, Lord, I'm a man there, but what about John? He's always, under your wing, close to you, and, he's always close to your bosom. Amen. I don't mind, but what is he going to do?
What about him?
It's not about John. Everybody says it's not about John.
It's not about John.
It's about the Lord and me. What has God ordered for your life?
Right.
And whatever that course is that he has ordered for your life,
right.
Whatever it is,
yes.
You said, thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Why? Because God eternally has everything worked out for you.
Yes.
What does it matter that if in time I never have 6 figures in my bank account, even 5 figures? Even 4 figures. Some people keep shaking their head. 3 figures. If I don't have a nickel to rub against the other, can you look at a life and say it's a failure? Not if that person is the elect of God.
That's right.
The answer to that is no. If that individual is the elect of God, his life is a success.
Right. Amen.
Give me 10 minutes and I'll wind up here now.
Come on. Glory to God.
So watch out for the shysters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Taking off the kid gloves now. We're not going to be nice to those fellas no more. They're messing up things.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what truth is. But just because they're packing out the house doesn't mean anything. But the origin of truth is not derived from the devices of human wisdom or expressed through words of dazzling and attractive rhetoric, as I've just said. I think I'll repeat that. The origin of truth is not derived from the devices of human wisdom nor expressed through words of dazzling and attractive rhetoric and words be employed by those who pride themselves on the wisdom of the world. 5 ways to get out of debt. It might not be God's will for you to get out of debt. Somebody says, ooh, Pastor, don't say that. It might not. He may keep you in debt to keep you humble.
Thank you.
To keep you from hurting yourself. I said maybe. I'm not sitting here saying only God knows why he's working what in your life.
That's it.
Because if being rich is the only way to be successful, or being well is the way to be successful, then the Apostle Paul was the biggest fraud and the biggest failure. He was a man who had money until he met Jesus. Here was a man who was the picture of health until he met Jesus. And after he met Jesus, he was the poorest and the brokenest and the lowliest. Oh my God.
Crazy.
Now, somebody said, all the pastors up here say that you must be poor, and I thank God, amen, that we have the re-recording.
That's right. That's right.
I'm not saying what you must be.
That's right.
I'm saying that God has specific plans for specific lives.
Yeah. Amen. Yes.
And you can't sit up in an auditorium and tell 5,000 people that they all gonna be rich. Think. I bet they're all going to be well. Think. And in fact, don't tell anybody that you're going to be well all your life. Everybody gets sick somewhere along the way. Amen. That's how you die. You get sick and you die.
Hallelujah. Praise it.
So that when sickness comes, you're not somewhere disillusioned with God. When we get in the streets, we get disillusioned with God. I'm not talking about saints, sinners. I'm talking about saints.
Yeah, that's right.
We find ourselves giving up on God. Because we have the wrong information. Those fellows are doing a lot of harm.
Yeah.
With their smooth talking ways. Telling you all of this nonsense. The church now is a sham. And God's people come to church with wrong motives. Come with the idea of what's in this for me. I want to be entertained. Oh, I like to go over there because they got a great choir. Give me a break.
Come on, preach this.
First of all, there's some value in singing. This gospel's got to be preached and taught, not sung.
Come on here.
And they know it. One preacher said, I won't call his name because you know him. He said, if you put on a good show, the people will come. Worship should be about a show. This is serious business. Because you know what? There's probably something out there waiting for you. And you need this. You don't just need what they give out. You need the truth. And so that your confidence doesn't get shaken in God. Because if you believe God says something and that doesn't come out, that's going to shake your confidence in Him. But God never said it to you. He never breathed it to you. Never told you that on this side you're going to have a flowery bed of ease. Sometimes things are going to be good. Sometimes things are not going to be that good. As long as you're on this side of eternity, and especially if you're in this dispensation. Now, if you could transform over into the dispensation of the kingdom in the 1,000-year millennium, there would be no sickness.
None in there. None.
Nobody would be hungry.
Nope.
Somebody said, woo, let me over there. No. Those over there, they're classified in the Commonwealth of Israel. Would you rather be over there and be in the Commonwealth of Israel? Or would you rather be in this present evil age from which He takes out the church, the body of Christ? Ooh, my God.
Hallelujah.
I'll go through whatever here to be in the body of Christ. Because that is the only position. Because when He conveys to the principalities and powers in Ephesians
Amen. I still got 5 minutes. Note the opening Greek phrase in this verse. Arche laumne. Literally translated, which also we speak. Hear this verse, when we speak, denotes the things of God that are precise and intelligibly expressed to the spiritual mind. And because it is the spirit conveyed to our spirits, it's easily comprehended. In other words, you didn't make an effort to know. You know because the Holy Spirit communicated to your spirit. But such oration that is true preaching is not exalted by high and foreign language, full of tropes and figures, which dazzle more than they enlighten. Such utterances are not robed in obscurity, are implored by those who are studious only in the sense that their conveyances entail Kabbalistic meanings. You know, somebody got you just repeating something that has no sense of reality. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that your body can become so invincible that you are immune from disease, from viruses. And I said this to them because it's almost 1 o'clock and I'm sitting down. But don't ever let anybody tell you that no weapon formed against you can prosper. I thought 9/11 put that to rest once and for all. There were Christians in that building that went down. There were people in that building that just as saved as you and I. And in a moment, they were gone from the earth, but not from the presence of God. In fact, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But how antithetical is that for someone telling you that you're invincible? Some fools come down the street shooting. What do you do? Do you say, no weapon for me just be can prosper? Or do you duck? I don't know about you, but I'm taking cover.
Amen.
I mean, crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. I am strong. I am strong. First of all, you are not strong. It is only through His strength that your weakness is made strength. I am healthy. I am healthy. You might be today. You might not be tomorrow. I am rich. I don't see how do some more people sit up in there and those bills are kicking them and slapping them around all over the place. And they're sitting up there because this minister who is rich is screaming, I'm rich. You holler, I am rich. I accept it. I believe it. You see, our focus are on physical, natural things. And this is not what the scripture conveys. Even if you go through life and you never even have enough money to just maybe get by, even if you're like Paul sometimes, and he writes to the Corinthians, he said, to this hour, we are hungry and we are naked. What are you talking about, Paul? I don't even have enough money to take care of my physical, everyday, natural needs. But Paul, are you rich? My Lord, Paul said, absolutely, I'm rich. But what I lost was gained to me. Yeah, I call it the
gone. Please don't nobody in here get caught up in that stuff. And if you were just even tempted to fall for it, turn your television set off. Don't sit up and listen to that junk. Because it will cause you to be disillusioned with God. Now, what has God done for us? He's given you eternal life.
Eternal
bliss.
Yes.
Eternal existence.
Yes.
In Him. Now think about time. And evaluate that and compare it with eternity. Time is but a short increment. Eternity is forever. So if you had to be broke, let it be in time, not in eternity. If you just have to be sick, let it be in time, not in eternity. Those who are outside of Christ, who are not His, they shall eternally exist from Him. But if you are His, you are His elect, He has called you, He has given you the Holy Spirit, He has saved you, that means God has a special place. Oh my God, all mapped out for you. Amen. Now, Paul said, I have not seen, my ears heard, my ears entered into the hearts of men, those things that God has in store for those that love Him. Amen. Here, He is speaking to the essence of Christ. If you have Him, it's more than money, it's more than. It's more, oh my God.
Holy, hallelujah. Yeah.
We should continue in this vein next week.
Glory.
Amen. It's about salvation. It's about salvation. It's about eternity. It's about your relationship with God. Amen. All of the houses, all of the money. I mean, when you check out of here, and even if you live to be 100 years old, that's only 1,200 months. And when you check out, no matter what you had here, like someone said to me a while ago, such and such died a millionaire. I said, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. He just died. He didn't die a millionaire. Nobody dies a millionaire. As soon as you die, you don't have anything anymore. When you die, you leave there. You don't take nothing with you. What the Bible said, I corroborate this from the Old Testament. What, the naked you come in, naked you going out. So the ministry, I said this and I'm through. The ministry is dedicated, or should be dedicated, to conveying the truth of the Spirit. And this is why here at the Grace Gospel Church, you're not coming here any day, even next Sunday when I'm gone. I don't even have to worry about what's going to be preached.
Mm-hmm.
What's the subject?
Jesus.
Not how to do nothing. Jesus.
Glory.
If you don't like Jesus, it's the wrong place for you.
Yes.
Go down the street where they're giving out hot dogs and pencils. I'm serious. It's about the spiritual things, the everlasting things, the eternal things.
Glory.
If you don't like to hear about eternity, wrong place.
Hallelujah.
And the essence of our preaching, those things that are unseen.
Yeah.
But Paul said the things that are seen, they are what?
Temporary.
2 Corinthians 4:18. If you can see it, it's temporary. If you can see it with the natural eyes, it's temporary. Your house, your car, your anything you think of, money, everything is temporary. But then he says in that same verse, but the things that are unseen, they're what?
Eternal.
So if the things that are seen are temporary, and the things that are unseen, eternal, which one do you think we should be preaching about?
Uh-huh.
Temporary things or eternal things?
Eternal.
Glory to God. The unseen. Give the Lord a hand, praise.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
If there's someone
Hallelujah.
This morning.